to continue our study together of the subject, add to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge being the thing that we want to center our minds upon this evening. We finished up this morning discussing that there are degrees of knowledge and that each one of us must be growing and maturing to be all that we can be in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But tonight I want to begin by asking the question, why must we grow in knowledge? We have looked at the Bible clearly tells us and commands us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. But the question is, why? Why should we grow in knowledge? Insomuch as God has given us a spiritual revelation, He expects us to respect it and to know it. It would do God little good, and it would do us little benefit to give us this great, wonderful book that we call the Bible, to reveal His mind to mankind, and then make it an iffy proposition. If or not, we need to study it, and we need to learn it. Indeed, the Bible will teach a very different scenario. The knowledge of God's Word saves one, makes us free, and produces Bible-obedient faith. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse number 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus Himself said in John 8, and verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth can only make us free if we have a knowledge and a working understanding of how that knowledge can benefit us. Idolatry, superstition, and modern denominationalism all thrive when people do not know the will of God. What they are striving to do and are very good at doing is keeping men and women in spiritual ignorance. Because as long as they can keep them in spiritual ignorance, they can continue to lead them down whatever path they deem or choose to be necessary to gain the means that they are trying to achieve. The religion of the Bible is a taught religion. Remember this morning in Bible class, we read John chapter 6 and verse 44 and 45. I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn to that as we reread it again of the importance of knowing the will of God. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The only thing that can draw a man to God, that can benefit his life, is the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. It cannot exist when men are ignorant of God's Word. You remember when Jesus was upon the earth, He challenged those who argued with Him, who disputed with Him, who tried to belittle and discredit His ministry. He challenged them in John 5, verse 39. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they which testify of me. He wasn't afraid of examination, and neither do we have to be afraid of the examination of the facts. Emotionalism, which is void of knowledge of the Word of God, will not save a soul. Let me say that again. Emotionalism, feelings that are not based upon facts, upon evidence, upon testimony, has never, will never, was never designed to ever save one soul from eternal punishment. It cannot, because it is exempted from the very thing that it needs, and that is truth. That is a knowledge of understanding. Ignorance is a curse. It destroys the soul, brethren. Job made the statement in Job 38 and verse 2 that a lack of knowledge darkens counsel, it destroys. The wisdom of the writer, the wisdom writer said that fools hate knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22 says that the fool hates knowledge. Why? Because it puts him at odds with the God of heaven. I want you to remember what the prophet Hosea said hundreds and hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and verse 6. But there's a greater danger. What can happen if I am unaware or I do not have the knowledge that God would have me to know? If I don't know the truth that God sent to save my soul, if I don't have the truth that can give me an understanding of what God wants me to do, what is the danger to that? There is a danger, folks. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. There is a danger of ignorance. There is a great price to remain if one willfully remains ignorant of truth. In 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 10, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, for what reason? What is the reason that is being referred to in verse 11? For the reason that they did not have a love for truth. For this reason, what was going to happen? For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Brethren, people who are ignorant can be deluded. People who do not have the knowledge of truth can be deluded to believe the lie. And if you do not believe that that is true, take a good, hard look at our world of religion. What are people doing in the name of religion? They're doing all kinds of things. You can turn on your TV any night and you can see about debt termination. You can just send 10% of your debt in and God will erase it in 90 days. Where does the Bible say that? And then the greatest lesson that they keep repeating over and over again, the hundredfold blessing, that you can just give to God a certain amount and you'll return hundredfold. Where does the Bible ever state that truth? That if I give to God so much, that I'll get so much in return. Is God into the markets? Is he into profits and gain? Is that what Christianity is all about? If you listen to some of my TV evangelist friends, that's the type of truth that they are teaching. And then we've got people that believe that truth is all contained in healing people, in doing physical things. Where does the Bible teach that fact? Where does the Bible teach such doctrine? People are in ignorance, willfully, because they will not examine what the Bible says for themselves. And you don't have to look any farther than the children of Israel. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to listen to some instruction that Moses gave to the children of Israel, beginning in the first verse of the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land that you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And with these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. What should you do with them? Look at verse number 7, that you will teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when they sit in your house, when they walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Did they do that? Did they teach them to their children? Did they put them ever before them? No. What happened to them? They were led away into spiritual adultery. They were led into idolatry. They were led into everything that was contrary to God's commandment. Why? Because they remained ignorant, willfully ignorant. Not because they didn't have the truth. They would not accept the truth. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5 and look at verse 30 and 31. How bad did it get? And an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. What is it? The prophets prophesied falsely, and their priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will the end, what will they do in the end? You see, spiritual ignorance destroyed the children of Israel. They were ignorant of God's righteousness, and so they followed the ignorance of the righteousness, the lack of righteousness, of the nations wherein they dwell. You know what the Second Kings tells us, a statement that's made about the children of Israel? It says that they became more wicked than the nation that God, that they became more wicked than the nations that God sent them in to destroy. How could that be? How could they become more wicked and more disobedient than the very people that God sent them in to destroy? Lack of knowledge. They allowed themselves to be deluded to error because they did not prepare themselves. Israel was destroyed because she destroyed herself. She neglected and rejected a study of God's Word. Now listen to me, brethren. How do we think we will escape if we choose the same route? If we choose to be willfully ignorant? If we choose to remain in spiritual ignorance? How do we expect that we will avoid the same fate that they have? We won't. Remember in Galatians chapter 1? What was Paul marveled at? That they were so soon removed from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another gospel, but a perversion of the gospel. And the Bible says in Galatians 1, 8, 9, if we are an angel from heaven, teach you any other gospel than that which you received from us, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If we are an angel from heaven, speaking to you any other gospel than that which you have received from us, let him be accursed. Brethren, ignorance costs too much, too high a price to pay to remain ignorant of truth. Knowledge is a result and a desire to know, brethren. Listen to the words of the wise man Solomon. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the fools feed on foolishness. Proverbs 8:15, verse 14. The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks after it. Proverbs 18, verse 15. What did Paul say about it in Philippians chapter 3? Yet indeed I also count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Verse 8. Why did he want to gain Christ? Because that was far better than anything that he gave up. And he strove after the true knowledge of truth. Ignorance reveals a moral decision. Listen to me. People who remain in spiritual ignorance have made the decision to do so. They can rationalize it. They can justify it. They can say, hey, we were lied to. We were hoodwinked. You were. Whose fault will it be? Won't be God. He revealed his mind to you. It won't be because you didn't have a Bible, because it's the number one selling book in the world. It's translated in every known language in the world. It's the most leading selling book in the whole world, not just in this country, but worldwide. We're told, if you like statistics, that there is 1.5 Bibles in every home in America. Take a look around. You think they're reading it? Are they reading it? Or is it just sitting there collecting dust? Is it a nice piece for the coffee table? Brethren, ignorance is costly. And remaining ignorant of truth is going to cost people their eternity. And we need to see how important it is. You know what Hosea said in Hosea 4, verse 1? He made a legal charge against the children of Israel. Listen to what he said. Hear the word, O Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Now, how could that be? How could there not be any knowledge of God in the land? Because they didn't seek after it. They didn't strive after it. They didn't look for it. They took what else was there instead of seeking after God. There is no reason for Israel to lack knowledge of God. God gave them a revelation, yet they had no appreciation for the law of God. Listen to Hosea again. I have written for him the great things of my law, but they were considered a strange thing. Hosea 8, verse, listen. God's word was considered a strange thing to his people. You know what? We could say that today. The word of God is strange to many people who claim to love God. The word of God is strange to them because they have never heard it. They have never studied it. They do not know it. The Bible also tells us, instead of being disciples of the word of the Lord, the Israelites chased after idols and committed a spiritual adultery against God. Listen again to Hosea. They do not direct their deeds towards turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. What a commentary. A people of God who did not know God. Isn't that sad? But before you feel too sorry for them, let's move it up a bit to the 19th century and the 20th century and the 21st century that we're about to enter. Do people know God today? They claim they do. They claim they love God. Many children of God who are in the Lord's church claim that they know God. You couldn't convince me. Not by what they do, not by what they practice, and not by the lack of truth that they do not know. Chasing idols and pursuing immorality, Israel had no use for God's revealed word. Hence, the knowledge of the Lord passed out of the land. Consequently, what happened? God gave his burden. What was it? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the Lord your God, I will forget your children. Brethren, read and weep. It wasn't God that did the forgetting first. It was them. And when they chose to forget God, God had no alternative but to forget them. They made that choice willfully. Today, man has no excuse for not knowing the revelation of God. He has either neglected it, he's either rejected it, or he has chosen to worship materialism, the environment, the entertainment, society, and he has rejected the word of God, and he's listened to the deluded lie, and he's accepted it, and he's bought it hook, line, and sinker. And if you don't believe that's true, take a good look around at where this world is, speaking morality-wise. They have taken the humanist bait. We're nothing more than a bunch of animals, so why not act like it? We were created like an animal, not in the image of God. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 1, but you see, that's not true. They don't know anything about that because they're ignorant of that. And so we just act like the beast that people say that we are. Rather, we just bought the lie. We have just sunk to the same level that the children of Israel do. Knowledge pleases God. Why does knowledge please God? Knowledge pleases God because it makes us acceptable to God. Read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11. Spiritual ignorance is offending to God. Listen, brethren. Brethren that do not grow. Brethren that do not mature. Brethren that do not gain knowledge are offensive to God because they no longer are part of the help of the equation. They have become a hindrance to the progress. Apostasy can never take place if people have the knowledge of truth. It can never take hold. It can never run with it because they know better. One cannot read Hosea 4 and 6 without noticing how offended God was that Israel allowed themselves to be ignorant of His divine will and allowed it to cost them their very life. John 8, verse 47, Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you that do not hear, because you are not of God." Listen, brethren, people who do not follow God's word do not belong to God. He does not claim them. He is not pleased with them. He is offended by their actions. "He who receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." Matthew 10, verse 40. Therefore, to reject the gospel is to reject God. This is an offense to God, not to men. And you know, too many times we keep these discussions on a personal level. We need to elevate it out of the personal level and get it back into the book. Because people are not arguing with us. They're not arguing with the Church of Christ. They're not arguing with our doctrine. They're arguing with the Bible. They're arguing with God. And when people argue with God, they don't stay in that argument too long. Because they know they can't fight against God. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you win if you fight against God? You can't. It's a battle you cannot win. And people that stay in ignorance, it's a battle they cannot win. They will pay the ultimate price. Knowledge imparts to others has a positive effect. You know, you can't teach to other people what you do not know. If you don't know the truth, how can you teach the truth? If you don't know what the seed is, how can you plant the seed? You can't. You first have to know it to be able to impart it. Often our teaching training classes lack the emphasis on the knowledge of the Bible. We worry more about getting people to volunteer than we do about their knowledge of what's in that book. What's in that book's important. And we, and the elders, have the responsibility as overseers to make sure that what's taught and what is practiced is exactly what's in the book. Not just in this pulpit, but down the hallway in those classes. In any class that's taught, they have the responsibility of making sure that the truth is taught and making sure that there are knowledgeable teachers in those classes. Why? Because souls are at stake. We're not just talking about filling a Times Square. We're not just talking about having somebody to teach a bunch of kids. We're talking about molding souls that are headed towards eternity. It's an important responsibility. It's not one to be taken lightly. You do well to read James chapter 3 and verse 1 that talks about the stricter judgment of a teacher. Because you're handling the Word of God, you must handle it rightly. You must rightly divide it. Spiritual ignorance affects others. Hosea 4, 6, it would lead to their children forgetting God. Sometimes men think that spiritual ignorance only affects those who willfully disobey God's Word. Consider the message it passes to the next generation. Do you remember in Judges 2 and verse 10? Do you remember the statement that was made there? There arose a people who did not know God. How is that possible? They weren't taught. They weren't taught, so they were raised in spiritual ignorance. And that generation paid the price. But he answered them and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch." You can't utilize the godly principles to solve a problem if you don't know what the godly principles are. How can you implement the plan of God if you don't even know what the plan of God is? How can you implement changing the world by taking the seed to the lost if you don't even know what the seed is? How can you evangelize the lost when you don't even know what it means to evangelize? Brethren, we're putting the cart before the horse. We've got to have the knowledge Before we can ever hope to teach somebody else, we've got to teach ourselves first. We've got to have a knowledge, a working knowledge of what the Bible says. Now, last point. An area in which we are to supply knowledge. Do we have a responsibility to apply knowledge? Yes. Our knowledge of God must be supplied to others. The man who continues to practice sin does not know God. Remember what we studied in Romans 6? Shall we who are in sin continue in sin that grace may abound? What did Paul say? Certainly not. We that have died to sin must leave that way of life. You can't continue in sin and at the same time tell God that you have a relationship with Him, that you know Him if you continue to practice that which He is opposed to. It's hypocrisy. It just does not work. To know God is to love Him. 1 John chapter 4 says, God is love. How can anybody have a relationship with God if he doesn't love God? But do we know what it means to love God? What does that mean to you, to love God? That means you say, I love God? If that's all there is, the majority of the world's all right. Because they love God, they tell us they do. But there's more to loving God than just saying it. Do we know what that means? To know God is life eternal. John 17:3, Jesus said, to know God is to gain eternal life. Do you know God? Let me tell you, you don't know God if you don't know His Word. You may know about God. You may understand that He created the world. You may understand that it's sustained by His will and His power, and you may understand His great power and His omnipresence. You may understand all of that, but you do not know God if you do not know His Word. You just have enough information to be dangerous. And you know what? There's a lot of people in the church that have enough knowledge, and it's dangerous because they don't know how to make the proper application to it. The Bible also tells us, knowing God is equivalent to obeying God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse number 24. 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandment abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. How do we know that we know God? By keeping his commandments. But tell me something, brethren. How do you keep what you do not know? How can you make sure you're not leaving anything out? You've got to know it to be able to obey it. You have got to know it. Some say preach Christ and not the plan. Some of my brethren preach that we need only to get away from the epistles and the doctrine and preach only Christ. How do you do that? How do you separate the plan from the man? How do you separate the word from Christ? He came to give it to us. How does God communicate with us today? Hebrews chapter 1 says, He speaks now through His Son. How does His Son speak to us? Through this book. Through the inspired Word of God given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. How can we separate the two? Our knowledge of self. The use of a roadmap. If you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to where you're going. Where are you tonight, spiritually speaking? If you don't know, then you don't know how you're going to get there. And if you do know where you're at, how are you going to get to where you want to go? You're going to have a blueprint. You're going to have a guide. You're going to have a map. Where's your map? It's in the Bible. You're not going to make it without a roadmap. You're not going to make it without some direction. And the direction is contained in God's Word. One must figure out where they are in life. And that knowledge must be honest and completely truthful. One knows himself by looking into the mirror. Tonight, if you want to know how you stand with God, let me tell you a very easy way to know. James 1, verse 22 through 25 talks about a mirror. And by looking in the mirror, we get a true reflection of what we appear and what we are to God. What is that mirror? Here it is. You want to know where you stand with God tonight? You want to take all the guesswork out of it? Just look in the mirror. It will take all the guesswork out. You won't have to wonder. You won't have to worry about whether you're right or not. You won't have to worry about whether you're seeing it right. Just examine what God's Word says, and you will get a true spiritual reflection of where you're at and where you're headed. One comes to really know himself as he comes to have a deeper and fuller understanding about God. Read Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. When we come to understand and have a deeper knowledge of God, we will have a deeper knowledge of ourselves. As one comes to know himself better, he is able to make the necessary adjustments of their life about those things that must be changed, that must be altered. Romans chapter 12, what to tell us? Don't be conformed to this world. Do you know whether you're conformed or not? Are you conformed or are you transformed? Or do you even know the difference? The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Do you know what it means to love the world? Do you know how you love the world? The Bible says in James 4, verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Do you know how you become a friend of the world? You don't know without knowledge. You've got to have knowledge to know that. Our knowledge of others. Knowledge enables one to see the welfare of his brother. How can you help your brother who's struggling and in need of guidance if you can't even guide yourself? You know, Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted. But how can you help a brother if you can't first help yourself? You know what that verse implies? It implies there's got to be spiritual-minded people to be able to help those who are spiritually weaker. Who is that? Oh, we all like to put ourselves in the category of being that stronger brother. But are we? That depends upon your knowledge of God's Word. Knowledge even enables one to truly see a brother when he formerly saw himself. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Take care of yourself before you try to fix somebody else. And then, how does one supply this knowledge? I'm going to tell you in closing tonight. There's only one way to do it. And that is an earnest study of the sacred scripture. Somebody's asked me, how do you learn it? How do you know it? How do you quote it? How do you have it when it can help you whenever you need it? You've got to know it. You've got to live it. You've got to have it in your heart. And if it's not there, it cannot help you. Let me tell you something, brethren. If the only Bible you have is what's in here, you're going to have struggle. You're going to have trouble in life because you're not always going to have this with you. And it better be up here or it's of no benefit to you. What did Paul say in 2 Timothy 2? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tonight, brethren, can you rightly divide the truth? Not according to me, not according to anyone here, but according to what God's truth says. Can you rightly divide? By earnestly and sincerely seeking for true knowledge. Turn to Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks, it will be opened. My brother, do you have a desire to know more about what God's Word teaches? If you don't, you better ask yourself the question, why not? Why not? You have to have an earnest, sincere knowledge to want truth. It doesn't come by accident. You're not born with a desire. You've got to develop it. You've got to want it. And then, we've got to practice by applying what we know. What good is knowledge if it is not used? Doesn't life even teach us that? What good is all the Bible you can quote if you can't live it? Turn to Matthew 7. Look at verse 24. Remember the wise man and the fool? One built his house on the rock. One built his house upon the sand. Remember the one that built his house upon the sand? Look it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. If you know God's word, it will help you in the storms of life. If you know it, if you live it, if you apply it, it will help see you through. But what if you don't know it? What if you just know where it's at, but you don't know how to apply it? Or you don't live it? Listen. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, what good is knowledge if we're not going to apply it? You'd be better off not having it if you have it and don't use it. By really trying to understand God's will in all matters of life, and we need to understand what truly matters. Brethren, you're always going to be in the position of growing. You know what you're going to do 100 times while you live and grow in Christ? You're going to be evolving. You're going to be maturing. And you know what? You may even have to change some things that you once believed because you get a clearer and deeper meaning of what truth means. You know what that is? That's growth. That means that you're working towards making application to truth. It's not always wrong to change, especially if you're wrong. But we must always be striving to gain truth in this life. Ephesians 5:17, remember that passage? Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In conclusion tonight, correct understanding is important in every area of life, but especially in the area of our faith in Jesus Christ. We must control understanding based on fact, based on truth, not based on emotion. Based on the fact and nothing but the fact. We must understand the grievous problems which come upon us when we ignore and neglect the truth of God's word. We not only need to know it for ourselves, but we needed to be able to teach to others. You remember the condemnation that was given by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5:12? The time that you ought to be teachers, you have need for someone to come in again and teach you the first oracles of the principles of God. Why? Because you have not developed the attitude that you ought to be where now you ought to be teaching instead of somebody coming in and teaching you again. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23:23. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Psalms 139:6. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. Proverbs 8:10-11. Yes, knowledge is the key to attaining every great and precious promise that God has ever made to us in his word. We need to understand nothing, and I underline this, nothing takes the place of knowledge in your life. We must ever be striving to be knowledgeable of God's word. Ignorance will cost people their soul in eternity. Let me close by giving you this scenario. You and I one day will pass from the scene. We will go to a grave. We will await in the Hadean realm until the coming of Jesus Christ. And then when he comes, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of what we did. And I'm going to tell you one thing you will not be able to say. One thing you will not be able to utter. You will not be able to say, I did not know that. Because it will be, you should have known it. Now, before you think that this is an insurmountable task, what is God's desire for mankind? That all would be saved. Now, if that's God's desire, would he make it too much that we be able to gain the knowledge that we need in order to gain heaven? Absolutely not. But let me tell you something. You're not going to slide in. You're not going to get in as a babe. You're not going to get in on a preacher's good works. You're not going to get in the works of the church. You're not going to get in the works of an eldership. If you make it or you don't make it, it will all be based upon the knowledge of God's word and your application of what you know. Now, if that be true, and it is true, let me ask you this question, and then the lesson is yours. Can you ever have too much? Now, if you think you can, please come and teach me. Because I don't think you can have too much knowledge. And anybody that believes in Bible study, or gospel meetings, or times of studying the Bible is a waste of time, does not understand the value of Bible knowledge. Why do we meet? Why do we study? Because we want to make sure that we know. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, most of all of you here I know personally. And I know you've heard 100, maybe 1,000 invitations. You could give this invitation just as well as I can. You know it by heart. You got to hear the word of God. You got to believe it. You got to repent. You got to confess. You got to be baptized. You know all of what it says. But let's say that you're here tonight and you know all of that, but you have not done it. Now let me ask you a simple question. What good is your knowledge doing you? You know what you need to do. You know where you stand before God. You know what your responsibility is, and yet you linger. What good is your knowledge doing you? Now, I'm not trying to be fictitious. I'm just asking an honest question. What good is that knowledge if we don't put it into practice? And you that are my brethren, who are my brother and sister in Christ, and you're not growing, and you're not maturing, and you're not desiring to grow, and you're not making the effort to grow, who are you fooling? You're not fooling God, and you're really not fooling yourself. And you know that you're going to have to give an account one day. You know what you need to do. You know what 2 Peter 3:18 says, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says, that we must grow, that we must mature, that we must press for the high mark of the hope in Philippians chapter 3. You know all that. But what good is all that knowledge of what you know? You know that heaven exists. You know that you're going to be judged. You know what the standard is. But what good's all that knowledge if you're not ready when that day comes? I have one plea with you tonight. If you're here tonight and you're in either one of these categories and you know what your condition is before God and you know what God will do, then consider the danger of letting that knowledge go unused for one more minute as we stand and sing.